finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
And we are live, Mr. Gracie Show 120.
Yo. 120.
Go. Joe Rogan Experiment, baby. It's coming on today. Yes, it's yes, funny. Yes.
Hey, man, I guess we got to try that algo. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we got a good guest today, Jen Smith.
Stoked.
Brilliant recording artist.
Yeah,
man. Her new record is really good. She has some cool songs, man.
Totally.
It's more like Lana Del Rey-ish.
Yeah, man. Sort
of. Yeah, so it's cool. And of course, she's a manager at Think Loud Studios, one of our TikTok managers, so in the agency.
Yeah.
She does a really great job with that as well. So we're excited to have her back on and talk
check
to her
out.
Of course, she's
on
easy
TikTok.
On the eyes as well. So, you know, that always helps.
Yeah. Check her out on TikTok, Jen Smith, two N's in the Jen. And then new album, Inside Thoughts, is the name of the album. Find it on Spotify, Apple Music, all that jazz. I went through, I was listening to it, and because we had her on, you know, a couple months back, and she had that song Mirror Mirror, which was like a heavier song. But this album, like you said, it's like a Lana Del Rey. It's like soulful, and even though Mirror Mirror is on there, there's a lot of, it's like a real soulful album. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
She's got a haunting voice, uses falsetto great, and lyrics are cool.
Yeah, it's cool to see the range that she has, for sure.
Yo, Chad, I want to talk about, like, Walgreens sent me a text yesterday, bro, and it said, health alert from Walgreens. The updated COVID-19 vaccine is available at Walgreens for eligible individuals ages 3 and older, bro. Why are you still pushing this fucking
money,
vaccine?
Baby. Fucking money. And though I think the masses are still in denial that it's fucking injuring people. It's just fucking wild. Who's the latest guy on Rogan? They were just talking about this. I'm still listening to the episode. But they were talking about this. It's like it's known now. There's study after study coming out showing that it causes all kinds of fucking crazy side effects.
Right.
And they're still pushing it on people, and people are still taking it. It's like you don't believe in science. It's a religion at this point. It's like dogma. You have to. I gotta fucking do it. They told me to do it.
So but it's showing the real evil side of capitalism. Like, how can you, as a company, probably one of the biggest pharmacies in America, still be peddling this shit when, okay, maybe you don't know 100% that it's killing people, but you have a doubt, or there's fucking major, major doubts that it is, and you're pushing it the way you are. You're part of the problem. So I think, like, Luigi Mangione, by going out and killing this, you know, healthcare guy, that was wrong. But maybe you need to start hitting these people, you know, in their pocket and start, like, boycott their brand, fucking something that's going to make them wake up and say that people are fed up with it. They know you're trying to kill them. Like, there's got to be a way, you know, void of going and killing the CEO or, like, you know, damaging their property. Like, there's got to be a way to make them realize, like, you cannot do this shit to American citizens. We're hip to you, and you should be taking care of us, as you're one of the biggest pharmacies in America. We should be able to trust you.
I agree with that. Walgreens, CVS, they're all doing it. But on the other hand, it's like the people that are getting it either don't know or don't want to fucking know. They're still going back and getting it. I mean, there's still demand for it, obviously. It's a little bit of they keep pushing it so people keep getting it too. But people are, and you know, and study after study now has come out and said it doesn't work. It doesn't stop you from getting it or transmitting it.
Right.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. You're literally just literally putting something in your body that will not help you, but could possibly kill you.
Or give you crazy side effects. Yeah. Strokes, yeah. Cancer, myocarditis, like. It is proven that it does those things, and yet you're still getting it. Oh, because I mean, they built COVID up. It's the same thing with Trump. COVID got to be so fucking scary. It's the biggest boogeyman in the fucking world. If you get it, you're gonna die, which is bullshit. And that's how they do it. They sell you on the shit, man.
It's Trump crazy.
Is the big bad boogeyman. Everything he does is bad. Oh my God.
Like at this point, if you're still taking it, because you got to think like there's got to be people that aren't on the internet and literally just pay attention to, you know, mainstream media or read newspapers, mm-hmm. like the older yeah. population. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that could still be duped by it, and shame on these companies for fucking like I it's agree. Out now. We know what the fucking problems or potential problems are for this vaccine, and you're still trying to push it on fucking kids, man, 3 years yeah. of age or older. Like what? Yeah. Why, man?
It was never, COVID was never a problem for kids, ever.
Right.
Like the whole fucking time.
Right.
And yet you're trying to say it's good for 3-year-olds. Like, my God, it should be, I mean, if you as a parent give that to your child, it should be, listen, it's child abuse, because it's like, you're just basically, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the fertility problems it causes.
Right. Right.
I mean,
100%.
Miscarriages, low fertility, like, you know, people can't get pregnant anymore. It's just, and it's study after study keeps coming out. And I guess the mainstream media, the people, the TV that everyone watches, apparently, you know, doesn't talk about it. So therefore they don't know or don't yeah. care. I don't know. It's fucking weird. But you got still have people wearing masks. Yeah. I mean, same thing.
But at least that's harmless. You know what I'm saying? Like
it is. Might be but something. It's the mindset though.
Yeah. 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 It's just nuts, man. Want to give a shout out. So just so the audience knows out there, Chad and I do not make up like the top fans of The Gracious 2. That's something like Facebook puts out. So I want to give a shout out to Phil Jones, who is one of our top fans, but was not included on that list. It's just something Facebook puts out, I think, by like engagement or something like that. But we know we have a lot of top fans out there, and that's just a Facebook thing. So don't take it personally. Phil
it
Jones.
Made you and I the top fans.
No, well, they thought you and I were picking the top fans, but it's Facebook picking them.
Yes.
And yeah. So you're all top fans in our eyes, but that's just Facebook's thing. And then 23andMe, I mean, this was a while ago, but do you remember they were selling, like if you went and sent in your DNA to figure out like who, you know, like where your ancestors yeah. were from and stuff like that. They're selling that DNA information. And I wonder who they're selling it to and what they can do with that. And that's not something you were thinking about when you were signing up. Thank God I never did. But, you know, you think you're giving your DNA to find out who you're from. You're not saying like, oh, you have the rights to my DNA to now sell it. And now somebody could potentially clone me with this. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be cloning, but also like, they're selling it to private companies. I think China's involved and probably buying some of it. Like, but what I heard one theory that at some point they'll down the line, they'll be able to individually engineer something that can kill just you.
Right. A weapon that could just send it to your signal that right. could fuck up your DNA and then poof,
yes.
you're done. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so how's that work with like a president or a senator or a congressman or someone like a Charlie Kirk, for instance? Like you can just go now, I'm sending a virus right to this person that it will attack their DNA specifically, kill no one else.
Right.
How would anybody know?
Do you think it's like crazy sinister, Chad, that 23andMe, the company, was made to just actually get that information? And then the subside of it was like, oh, we're going to tell you your ancestry. But in all reality, they wanted people to just hand over their DNA so they could bioengineer a weapon to fucking pinpoint them and boom, you're done. I think it
there
gets
could
like
be that sinister element to it. I mean, I think it just started as people wanting to know their background and where they came from and, you know, their genealogy of like where their, you know, ancestors came from.
Yeah.
But of course, like anything, you can twist it into something evil. So here we are.
God dang it.
I know.
Son of a bitch is right.
Troy? I'm saying hi to Troy. He said hello to me. Hi, Troy.
Hey,
everybody.
Troy. I don't want to switch gears too much, but I do want to show this one thing on 9/11. And it's with the video you made me watch, Chad, when we were in at the studio in New York. Mr. Wielden from the FDNY.
Oh, yes.
I just want the folks to read this. He was on Tucker. Yeah, this is cool.
Oh, just
come down. Cool. Sort of collapse in on themselves, implode, it looked like. And like a lot of people have said, many credible, non-crazy people have said that was controlled demolition. Was it?
So just real quick, he's talking about the towers being controlled demolition. Then he's talking to the chief of the FDNY that day, who I think became a congressman or something. But just to set it up a little bit.
I mean, when you have 3,000 people die, you would think it would be a full massive investigation, not going after 9/11, obviously. But what happened to the buildings and why'd they come down? They're the only high-rise buildings in the world that have ever come down from an airplane hitting them. And those buildings, I read the report from the architect who designed them. They were designed to withstand an airplane hitting the building and
for
standing
sure.
tall.
And especially Building 7, which had no plane hit it. Right.
No plane hit it. And the building just, you can see it when you watch it on TV, it just implodes straight down. And what really got me again was Oriole Palmer, the bad Italian chief.
Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
arising on the...
Well, tell us who he was.
So this is telling, Chad. So listen, so he's talking about one of the chiefs of that day gets to the floor impact, floor 78, and then he radios down that we got this, this is controllable, and then a minute later, the buildings collapse. And he goes, and this guy, Mr. Wielden, right there, he goes, they don't give a report like that unless they are 100% certain that they could handle this, because they're putting their, you know, their fellow men in jeopardy if they're wrong. He goes, so the fact that 100%. He was so sure means something fucking happened.
Oriole Palmer was one of the most inspirational battalion chiefs in New York.
FDNY,
who immediately, in very good shape, had a family, a couple of kids, went into the building as soon as they got on the scene, took the elevator up to the 40th floor, got off the elevator, and you can hear him on the comm system say, I'm here, 40th floor, we're going to start walking up the stairwells. Every five floors, he radios back to communication. I'm on the 50th floor. Everything's okay. We're on floor 60. Everything's okay. He's going up. Every so many floors, he gives a report. He reaches the 78th floor, the floor of impact. He comes out of the stair tower. And as clear as you listening to me here, and I know I get passionate and I apologize to your listeners for that. He says, we're on floor 78, the floor of impact. We've got two fires and we can handle them. 1 minute later, the whole building collapses. That's not normal. That is not acceptable. That is not what happened.
And this is on tape?
It's on tape. The film is called Bravo 7. And if your viewers want it, if they contact you, I'll give it to you. It's free. It was produced not by Hollywood. It was produced by firefighters.
Crazy, bro.
Can't rely on Hollywood.
Right. But I mean, this is somebody who has, you know, was in the FDNY for a very long time and knows, like, if somebody's giving an order like that or a command like that, that they are certain because they would not put people's lives in jeopardy. So that's fucking telling, man. And it's scary. Our guest is here. We'll see her in the green room. We'll be with you shortly. Jen, got a fun show with Jen.
Oh, we got to talk about the Epstein emails before we go to Jen. I mean, you know, it's the big topic right now, and it's completely and utterly backfiring on the Democrats. It's fucking hilarious to watch, as we knew it would, but we got to put out the fuck. You know, they care so much about it now because they think they got some gotchas for Trump, but here we go.
It's Chad, before we play hilarious. That you sent to Bobby, I want to play one of President Trump just kind of talking about that, and then we'll go to that one real quick. Cool. Listen to what President Trump says here, because it's very fucking important.
With Epstein, the Democrats do. All of his friends were Democrats. You look at this Reid Hoffman, you look at Larry Summers, Bill Clinton, they went to his island all the time, and many others, all Democrats. All I want is I want for people to recognize the great job that I've done on pricing, on affordability, because we brought prices way down, but they're going way lower, on energy.
So he's basically saying he doesn't want this to detract from all the good stuff going on right now, because, yeah, this is in the past, but, it's a Democrat problem.
Democrats lost their fucking stupid-ass government shutdown, and the day the government opens is when they start putting out these fucking bullshit doctored emails. Well, I don't know if doctored, but they were retracted. Virginia Giuffre's name was retracted specifically because we already know that she said in her deposition and in her book that Trump did nothing wrong with anybody that she ever saw. Bam. Right. See ya.
Bam. So Chad, I mean, so they left out that name, they redacted it because it would be telling, because she already said, like, I met him numerous times, he never did anything inappropriate, blah, 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 blah. But if you just read that email and the redacted name, it says in there, like, Trump didn't bite, he's been with this individual all day, he won't take, like, so it in the article, it says right then and there, like, the headline is a bunch of bullshit, this is the actual facts.
Yeah,
and it's crazy, man.
They rely on the I don't know if you want to call it stupidity, but they rely on the stupidity of the readers to just read the headline and go, Trump's bad. We got him. We got him. We got him. It's like every fucking time the press comes out and says, we got him. His back's up against the wall. We got the smoking gun. It always is false. Every friggin' time. When do you learn that they're lying to you? Like, when do you figure it out?
On ending 8 wars and another one coming pretty soon, I believe. We've done a great job. And I hate to see that deflect from the great job we've done. So I'm all for it. You know, we've already given 50,000 pages. You do know that. Unfortunately, like with the Kennedy situation, with the Martin Luther King situation, not to put Jeffrey Epstein in the same category, but no matter what we give, it's never enough. You know, with Kennedy, we gave everything and it wasn't enough. With Martin Luther King, we gave everything and it's never enough. We've already given, I believe the number is 50,000 pages. 50,000 pages. And it's just a Russia, Russia, Russia hoax as it pertains to the Republicans. Now, I believe that many of the people that we mentioned are being looked at very seriously for their relationship to Jeffrey Epstein, but they were with him all the time. I wasn't.
Boom.
I wasn't at all.
Boom.
And we'll see what happens. What I just don't want Epstein to do is detract from the great success of the Republican Party.
Now play that video of the timeline that I sent of that guy going through the timeline, because that's very interesting.
That's you, Babe.
On the backside of that video from our dear president.
With businessmen. Jeffrey Epstein was a businessman, at least on surface. So, of course, there are photos and clips of not only Trump, but tons of other businessmen, millionaires, and high profiles rubbing elbows with Jeffrey Epstein in the 80s and 90s. Fast forward. Early 2000, Trump and Epstein crossed paths at events like Mar-a-Lago parties and New York City galas. By 2004, they clash over a Palm Beach mansion bid. Trump wins. Their friendship starts cracking. 2007, Trump gets wind of Jeffrey Epstein's weird vibes, hitting on a member's teenage daughter and poaching young spa staff, including a 16-year-old who later becomes victim, Virginia Giuffre, recruited by Maxwell. Trump warns his team, then bans Epstein from Mar-a-Lago for life in 2007. No more invites, no more access, all ties cut. By the way, Virginia Giuffre in 2016, under oath, I never saw Trump do anything wrong. Her 2025 memoir, Trump couldn't have been friendlier. Okay, 2005-2006, Florida investigates Epstein for abusing underage girls. Trump steps up and tells the investigators everything he knows. He helps the victims seek justice. FBI launches federal probe in July 2006. Epstein's empire starts crumbling. 2008, Epstein gets 13 months in a county jail. 2009-2016, Epstein rebuilds his network. No federal follow-up. Obama is president, and his DOJ...
Crickets.
Epstein parties on his island. Untouchable. 2017, Trump is elected. Epstein seethes in private email to Clinton Obama Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. Trump is dangerous. 2018, 2019, Trump's first term is rolling. Epstein texts Democrat Representative Stacey Plaskett live during Michael Cohen hearing.
That's right.
Crazy.
Nudging her questions to amplify the anti-Trump hit. Epstein also emails anti-Trump dirt to a well-known Trump hater, Michael Wolff, for a hit piece book. In other words, while Trump's DOJ closes in, Epstein is texting Democrats in real time to take down Trump.
What?
2019. Epstein arrested on federal sex trafficking charges. Trump's DOJ indicts him. 2020 to 2022, Ghislaine Maxwell gets arrested, convicted in 2021 on trafficking charges, 20-year sentence. 2021-2024, Joe Biden is president, Democrats in power. The Epstein files...
Cricket, nothing.
No one cares. 2024-2025, Trump wins the election, vows to declassify Epstein files, releases some documents, but there is nothing new that we don't know about. Nothing burger. November 2025. Now, Democrats leak select emails hyping Epstein's gripes about Trump knowing about the girls. Twisted to sound bad, but victims back Trump's story.
Yep.
Republicans release all 20,000 plus pages. No wrongdoing by Trump found, but collaboration between Epstein and the Democrats found.
Yep.
Now, the timeline we just went through is all sourced from oversight, court filing, victim books, and testimonies. Trump wasn't Epstein's pal. He was his kryptonite. Banned him first, helped nail him.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And these documents? Well, all slander, zero substance.
Yeah, man.
There you go. And, you know, it's what will happen, though, is like, well, one, most of the lefties won't even watch that because they can't hear anything that's, you know, adverse to how they think. Oh, my God, it's triggering. They don't want to hear the truth. And if they do hear the truth, they won't believe it. It's fucking crazy, man. It's insane. But yeah, just keep calling Trump a pedo, you idiots.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Maybe
you're digging your own grave. They're digging their own grave. They wanted everything released. Now it's getting released, and it's their team that's all over the fucking documents and emails. Yeah. Anywho, we will get back to that later, but let's go to our next guest, Miss Jen Smith. What is going on?
Not much. What's up with y'all?
What's up,
Jen? Yo. Inside thoughts, baby. Digging the album. Feeling it.
It's out.
It is out. And,
good, I think. I mean, it seems to be going better, really, than any of the singles we put out. So
very cool. Good. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's soulful. We were saying before you got on, it's like Lana Del Rey. Lyrics are good. I love in the falsetto. It's deep.
Thank
the
you.
Album's deep. The first.
It's
was
different.
It the first? It's good.
Thank you.
I was expecting, like, because the first song I heard was Mirror Mirror, and that was like really hardcore and stuff like that, or harder song, you know. And then this was kind of soulful, and it's got some nice hooks to it, beats and stuff like that. Inside thoughts. I'm gonna play a song for Jen that I was digging. Let's see here, so the audience could get a little piece of what I was into here. And dun-dun-dun. There we go. Boom.
Is it playing? Can you hear it? I can't hear
it. Oh, you guys can't hear?
No.
Shit.
You're rocking out over there. We can't hear.
Yeah, I am. All right. I was worried about that. Never mind, Jen. I'm not sure why that didn't go through. But into place. Yeah. I don't know why. The sound was shared and all that jazz. But that was one of my jams. Into Place was the name of the song. Yeah, I'll see if I can figure that out while we're going through the show. So Jen, was this, do you plan on doing, cause I could see, I hear some of the, it's like a acoustic guitar going stuff. I could see you doing like acoustic performances with this. I remember last time you were on, you were like, that's kind of intimidating. You like the full band behind you, but,
yeah, I mean, I think so. Or, you know, at least maybe like a couple of them acoustic and then the rest not. Like kind of like a drop down.
Yeah, totally. Next time we have you on, we'll have to have a little performance from you.
Yeah, that would be fun.
We could even do it Ashley Simpson style where we, like she did on SNL, where we had to play the track and you know, go over it.
Nah, so you got to go there, huh?
And sing, yeah, got to do that. So what's going on, Jen? Has yeah, exactly. How has it been since releasing? Because this seems like Private Thoughts That You Have, Inside Thoughts type of deal is the name of the album. So it seems like you're putting your soul out there. You feel vulnerable?
Yeah, but you know, honestly, it's not been as bad as like the first couple. I think I got so used to it at this point that it doesn't bother me as much. I do notice I've had people call me out that there's one song that I never play like on lives and stuff. when I'm on there, I always end up skipping it. And all I get messages like, I have to say, I don't understand why you don't play this song. And I'm like, well, that's the one that's like,
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the Stay Away song. And yeah, you know, it's funny because like, I think I did it subconsciously for a while. Like, cause I just didn't ever, if it came on, I just like hit skip.
How funny. Skip.
John Paul, Stay Away. Let's play it.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, well, I figured it out.
I've tried to make myself do it. Now Bill played it the other day when he was in the studio and I was like, all right, well, here we are. And it wasn't that bad. But like, for some reason, I think in my head, I was just like, I just always skipped it. I don't know.
Well, so is that, you want to talk about it? Is that one about like a past relationship or something like that? Like, it's very personal, obviously.
I mean, I think it's, well, yeah, originally that's where it came from was, okay. It was one of those, I mean, it's basically like, stay away. Like, if you're not going to like actually stay and stick around, don't let me, you know, become attached in the situation,
right,
type of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't even think I realized it at first, honestly. Mm. Like, it didn't even click. And then I skipped it every single time. So that was interesting.
It's just automatic. Ding.
I did.
Yeah.
I think at first in my head, I was like, oh, it's because it's slow. And so it kind of like brings down the vibe in the room. Mm. And then I just like found new excuses all yes. the time and not play it.
Well, it's what happens when, you know, you use your, you know, your deep personal experiences and put them in recordings.
Yeah.
Like, you, as they say, you're wearing your heart on your sleeve, and it's like,
yeah,
it's tough sometimes because you're being vulnerable and people are listening to it, and then maybe you're some, like you said, subconscious, you're like, I don't want to listen to that right now. It's too,
yeah, right. Let's not
too much.
Drag that up. We can skip that.
Yes.
All right, I think I figured out how to play a song here. So,
okay.
Let's try it out. Tell me if I got it right this time.
Yeah.
A glance that lingers like a breeze so shy. Your hand brushes mine. The air is heavy, thick with what we hide. Our silence speaks where words would only lie. Your fingertips speak louder than the night. Step closer, then pause. It's not the way you look, it's the way you move. It's not the words you say, it's the
chase is falling into place.
Yeah. Baby.
It's kind of spicy.
Let's go.
Very cool. Yeah.
I mean, so the songs are catchy, like straight from the get. And usually the first time you hear a song or something, it needs to grow on you. But the like five that I picked out from the album to listen to, I'm right away, I'm like, all right, I'm bopping. I'm into the lyrics. I like it all.
Thank you.
When we spoke last time, Jen, and Mirror Mirror was out, like, did you have these songs written already, or is this something that you did after that?
Most of it was after. There were some that, like, had, like, a couple little starts to it, but none of them were, like, finished before. And actually, Into Place was the first that was written from that album.
And so, like, did you have this style? Because, like, there's a style to the way you sing. There's a style to the music. Like, it seems like almost like a fully formed artist, but it's album one, which is kind of crazy. So yeah. It's like...
Well, you know, I've done all different kinds of stuff. Like, that's... In my early 20s, like, the last, like, larger performance things I did was the Country Music Showdowns, which is, like, nothing like any of this stuff.
Sure.
So... I had done this style like cover wise in the past, and it's one of the styles I listen to because I listen to like everything. But I had never written that way, and it was really just like a fun thing just to like kind of get out of like a funk slum.
Yeah.
And then I loved it so much, and I was like, wait, I really, really, really like this. And it was fun and it was a challenge. I think everything kind of got to where there was less challenge when it was the other styles that I just kind of felt blah, like when I would sit and write. And so I liked the challenge of it. And there was sometimes that I was like, maybe I don't like the challenge. Maybe I just want to go back. But I didn't want to put an album out that had a whole bunch of different genre type things in it. Like I kind of wanted to stick in the same realm. And so I just kind of had to push through some of the times that I was kind of questioning it, but yeah, I loved it. Like every bit of it.
Yeah.
And it was easier on my voice. So much easier on my voice.
Yes.
You got a killer voice too. Some of the notes you're in, I'm like, damn, I'm not ready for that. Like, you know, I'm like, cause I'm hearing you go. I'm like, is she gonna hit it? And then you hit it. I'm like, rock the fuck on. That's a voice right there.
Well, cool. But it's like quicker. And like, you know, before, between Mirror Mirror and this, I put out a single called Beautiful Mess. And like when I recorded that, I was like hoarse for like 2 or 3 days afterwards from singing that over and over and over. I was like, this is not sustainable. Like, that's not,
yeah.
It's something I could do like that, like, you know, to record it. but I can't go around sounding like a trucker, you know, for 2 weeks at a time. Like,
right. Singing it every night. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
yeah.
You might just have to build up your vocal cords too, because you're hitting the note. So that means it's in there and you could build up the strength to do it. But yeah, that's a good point that you hit, because that's one of the songs where I hit that Beautiful Mess. When you get to that chorus, that's a fucking note that you hit when you go into the Beautiful Mess part, and you sustain it, you hold it. I'm like, God damn, that's a powerhouse voice right there. I was impressed.
Yeah, it feels like you got to bring it from your toes, you know?
It's funny. One time we had a conversation with Chris Cornell, and he was talking about all the high stuff that he did in the early days of Soundgarden.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know why I ever sang that high. It's like so hard to do now.
It's just, it's not as enjoyable, and like the others, they're kind of in that pocket where you're like, yeah, I've got to reach, but also I could be like sitting and chilling doing it, as opposed to like feeling like I got to use everything in my person to like push it out.
Yeah.
What's your writing process like? Do you use acoustic guitar, piano? You start with like melody, scratching
both
melodies
those two,
out?
But okay. I don't. You know what's really funny? I have had a lot of people ask me that recently. Like, it's been never been a topic, and then all of a sudden it's been a topic like the last like week or two, like on lives. Most of the time I sit down like with like what I'm gonna write about.
Okay.
So and then I start writing. Then I go music.
Really?
But then there's other times that I have like hooks in my head, and I'll be singing something like that, and I just sing it as I'm writing it, and then like I'll go fill in extra blanks. Wow. Those are, to me, are easier because I've already kind of got the hook in my head.
Yes.
Because there's other times that I'll just have a whole bunch of lyrics sitting there, and I've got to like kind of think through what I want to do. But like a lot of times they're Beautiful Mess, Mirror Mirror, I had a hook. I had the Mirror Mirror in my head.
Yeah.
But like Beautiful Mess, I like literally sat and wrote it out like notes and like a story. And then I go down and like hone it down and go from there.
Interesting. That's very cool.
Yeah, that seems like a hard way to kind of write the music. So you had like, because then you have to like put music over your lyrics type of deal and figure out where you're going with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but then I can like, I move stuff around. I have the general gist of how I want it. And then when I start doing the music, I move stuff more. I reword things because it doesn't sound right, you know, when it's coming out as a lyric as opposed to just written words. So it's kind of a mixture of both. But a lot of times I start with like, okay, I'm sitting down to write a song about this. And so.
That's cool. So that seems scary too. Like you have an idea of like what you want to write about as opposed to like whatever's coming to you at the time. The musicians on the album, is this a band that you have or were they just kind of studio session musicians?
Yeah, I do it and like have them put it all in there for me and then send it back to me.
So you're sending out files to a studio and the guys are recording and then, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are you just hearing dailies?
I go in there sometimes, but usually I just borrow like recording stuff or go to someone's house that has like recording stuff and I get it knocked out there. So I feel like it would be so much easier just to like be in the studio and knock it out.
Yeah.
Because it's so much back and forth. And there's a couple songs on there that I thought they were going to hate me and tell me to all the way off, like, because I would be like, I really don't like that. Right. But can we do this? But I really don't like this. Can we do this? And I was like, these people are gonna be like, this bitch. At some point, y'all are gonna be done with me.
Right. But so you're not. So you're relying on them to come up with their parts, and like you're just like I said, you're sending them the song.
Like vocals, and then like my acoustic. I don't know. I rarely even want my acoustic to like be part of it. Like it's just I play enough to write in my mind, you know, or piano. And then I like on Into Place, I was literally on FaceTime banging on my wall, like explaining like how I wanted this to go.
Okay.
And I looked like a psychopath, I have no doubt. Like, why? I was like, no, you got to see. I mean, I'm like this and like banging on the wall looking crazy.
It's not crazy. I mean, that's Michael Jackson. If you watch like This Is It, like, because he didn't really play instruments, but he would like sing the parts that he wanted the musicians to play and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it might look crazy from the outside, but that's, you know, kind of way that people seem to do it.
Yeah. I just remember thinking, I was like, if anyone had this on video, it would be comical. Because I'm on FaceTime like, no, like this. And like, I'm just like banging on the wall looking. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you should record for, you know.
Yeah. I know. I missed out on that. It really would have been something. Because I was up all night writing and like going through it and everything else. And then, so I was like, hair on top of my head, looking crazy and like reaching over the keyboard, like banging.
Right. I was just curious if you were involved intimately, deeply in the process of them putting their parts together.
No. Okay.
So you're just kind of like, you send them something, you give an idea what you want, and then they send stuff back. Do you have to change a lot of stuff, or are you like?
This time I did.
Okay.
Other times I didn't so much. And I think this time, because I was like, I really didn't have any pressure on it, you know, because
we had plenty of time.
I had only put out singles. Right. I had not really, whatever. I wanted it out, but like, I didn't have any major rush or reason to have to rush. So right. Now there was times that I was irritated with myself. I was like, are you sure you can't just like this? Like, because I just wanted it done. But right. I would be like, no, I just really, something's off. Something's off with it. So.
Yeah, good for you for sticking to your guns, because like Chad was saying with his first couple albums, they didn't like put it out unless all the hairs on their neck stood up. So it's like, and you as a solo artist, it's kind of easier for them because they had like four people going in with it and like, this is what we want. But you as a solo artist, you're like, fuck, am I putting these people through the ringer? Cause I'm trying to like perfect this, but it's your music and you're putting out what you want. So good for you for sticking to your guns and getting your actual vision across.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Next, I would much rather be in the studio.
Which I was just going to say, it sounds like
collectively doing this. Cause it was like, oh my God, there were times it was very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I was trying to figure out how you were doing that. Cause it's like, ideally, you're there when it's being recorded and you can go, no, that drum part's not right, or the guitarist doing this.
You know, once you hear it, they could do something exactly like you said, but then you hear it and you know, really? And that's why there was sometimes I was like, these people are going to hate me so much. I mean, I was paying them. So, I mean, it wasn't, but like, at the same time, I was like, damn. Like it, and there's that longer turnaround because you're waiting on the back and forth as opposed to like being there in the moment doing it. So
how far away was the studio, far away from you, or where was it?
There were some that like were in Dallas, but I don't know where they had them out of, you know what I mean? They could have had them wherever because it was like friends and people that had connections.
So they're recording people remotely too. So they're not in one central studio. Like they're
just depending on where they were. Like, cause I was using a whole lot of connections. Like, because that's why have people even now, like, you know, the album came out on Halloween and I really just picked that cause I thought it was kind of cheeky because, you know, there was like Haunt Me's on there and all that, you know, whatever. So, but I don't know. Like, I wish I had done it differently than I did, but at the same time, it was how you do it. But people ask me now, they're like, when's the next thing? And I'm like, y'all, I'm one damn person. Like, I'm like, the fuck you say? Like, I'm one person. And there was a whole lot of trying to like juggle everything else in life and do this. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's the crazy shit about, you know, influencers, content creators, you know, actors, musicians, like their fans are so, they want like stuff.
They want new all the time.
Instant gratification. Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah.
It's great, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, records don't work that way. It takes a while to make. And then, you know.
Yeah. It's like, do you want me putting out shit that isn't good and then you don't like the shit I put out? Because then, I'll put out stuff every day. But if you're looking for quality.
And you know, if I just like had access to like pop in a studio and there was everyone that like, you know, had nothing else to do in life and they wanted to pop in and do the instruments for me and then did it like that, yeah. You know, but as it sits, you know, I'm grown as hell. You know, we've all got life. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a little hard to like do it that way.
You need a band. You don't have to piecemeal the thing together, but yeah, it's kind of hard to find unless you're diving in like head first into it. And that's like, you're doing it 24/7 going out on tour and stuff like that. Is that something that's like in your brain for like an ultimate goal is to like get a band that's yours and maybe take some, go on tour and stuff like that?
I've thought about it as long as it fits in the whole, like, you know, I've got my kids every other week, but every other week I really don't, you know, everything I do could be done not here.
Right.
Like, so I've thought about that quite a bit. Like, cause I talked about going and doing some shows in Austin and doing things different places. And at totally, one point I had been talking to someone about like festivals and stuff.
Yes.
But it's just a lot of this stuff ends up being attached to like labels and a lot of times with the labels, you get all these perks, but also, well, one of the perks is like, well, you can use our studio. I'm like, well, actually, I don't have to worry about using your studio because I could go to a studio going to go there. So,
and they say you could use the studio, use the studio, but they're going to let you use it. And then when you make money, they're going to charge you for that time. So it's not like they're giving it to you for free.
So as it sits, like I pay everyone straight out a set fee and then I own everything.
Yeah.
So it seems dumb to like lose ownership.
Yeah.
Now, like as far as like distribution and promotion, that's when I go, oh, you know, maybe the label thing doesn't sound so bad. Like,
sure.
Well, you can just do distribution deals too, though. I mean, I'm sure you know that, right? I mean, you don't have to.
No, Chad, I don't know shit.
You can solely get distribution deals where they just distribute the music and put it out. Sometimes they offer a little budget for promotion and.
Now I have heard of like the people that like you can like go through to get like. Not just like TuneCore or something like just like the distributors, like they do the promotions and all that stuff. I have heard of that. Okay. I just didn't like, I haven't heard of like, as far as like doing like a contract or something with someone, like a label or something to where it's not all on me. But
right. Well, I guess you got to wait out too, because all they're going to do these distributors is like take ads out, get you booked on shows maybe and stuff like that. So maybe if it's like, you know, if it's not crazy, I don't know what the ads cost to do that, but maybe even something you could do on your own and fucking cut them out completely. Yeah, ads aren't that expensive and you could target your audience.
It's not too bad. And like I'll do some of the things like that Spotify offers, like the different like promotional things and stuff like that. But yeah, I do wish I had looked into that more, but you know, like there's so many things. Like people always want merch stuff. And I'm like, y'all again, one person. Like, so I keep trying. I'm like, okay, I need to at least do like Printify or something because.
I can hook you up with a company that does, they do over 300 items with just logos and stuff.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do need to do that.
I can tell you about that.
People ask about it all the time. And I'm like, I'm trying.
Yes.
You know, but then you're also worried about your emotes on your damn TikTok live. Like, do you want a sticker or do you want to?
Like... Gotta have priorities.
The company Chad's talking about is you don't have to pre-buy this stuff. Like, they'll print it on demand for your fans that want to do it.
That's perfect. Okay, yeah. That's exactly what I need.
I'll send you a link for the guy's the owner and good friends. Perfect. With him. So, well, good acquaintances with him, not good friends, but anyway. You say that so freely about people. You're like, I'm good friends with them. It's like, not really.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Kind of an acquaintance.
Yeah, there's a huge difference, though. There's a huge difference.
Anyway, so I'll set you up with that. That could be good for you as well. Because one less thing you have to worry about, but you get out merch. They can put it on. They have, like I said, 380 items, all kinds of clothing, coffee mugs, cups, and they print it on demand, everything. You don't have to keep anything. You don't have to buy like 300 pieces and all that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that was the drawback on it. I was like, God, dog. Like, yes. And then I'd have to like be over here trying to ship everything. Ship it, I was like, God.
They take care of all that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Nice. Yeah, a friend will help you bury a body. An acquaintance will probably rat on you for that body.
Yeah, so that's the difference. Yeah, I'll find the tarp and lime. No worries.
Shit, damn.
Come on now.
I watch a lot of TV, my man.
Just don't search that stuff on your web browser, okay?
Yeah. You folks hear that Jim Carrey is going to be George Jetson in the new Jetson movies.
Really?
Yeah. Anybody hear that?
That was a squirrel, but okay. Sure.
That was.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I just want to show up.
I thought he retired.
All I've seen him do is paint and act crazy.
Yeah. He comes out for like these little things. I think he has like a grandkids or something that he's replace screen.
Oh, yeah. His daughter did have some kids. Oh. So he has grandchildren. Yes.
But check it out, dude. Am I not sharing? No, I'm not sharing. What the motherless? I don't know what's going on here, folks. I blame Bobby. If that's a thing. There we go. Looks pretty dope though. I mean,
that's wild. I wouldn't have expected that. I mean, he makes a pretty good batch, honestly.
Jen, you know that Jim and Chad used to be friends. Chad was at, I believe, his wedding, Jim's wedding.
That's maybe wild, an engagement party? Sir.
Well, I was at the after party to Lauren Holly when he got married to her. We were friendly. We were talking on the phone a lot, and like, yeah, he had just done come off of Dumb and Dumber, and so he married Lauren Holly. And I went to Tom Hanks' house for the reception.
And then Tom and Chad hopped the plane to, where was it? Epstein's Island, I think.
Yeah,
you guys
went to Epstein's Island. Yes. Great. They didn't announce my name on the list yet, damn it.
Ah, that's right.
Now we got the heads up for when it comes to it.
Anyway, yeah, it was cool to know him for a while. Kind of lost contact, but he was a really great guy.
Yeah, I said to Chad, I'm like, he lost contact right before we started The Gracious Two. I'm like, God damn it. That would have been a great guest, sir.
Oh, man.
Back in 2001. Yeah, right before.
Yeah, sorry, right before.
Yeah, he's got that great, like, physical comedy aspect to it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was at some premiere. I just saw, like, a picture, but it was the chick that he did The Grinch with. She was, like, a little kid. She was Cindy Lou in the movie.
Cindy Lou. Yeah.
Yeah, and Taylor, they had just
Taylor Momsen. Yes,
Taylor Momsen.
Yeah,
they like met
he
on
was
the
such a good Grinch.
Yeah, for sure. But they Taylor met on like Momsen a red carpet her. After like a bunch of years later, and she's fucking fully grown up and looking
she's in
fresh.
That band, Pretty Reckless.
She's Pretty Reckless. Yeah.
Ah, I gotta get
and
my.
And she
finger
was in that
hole.
Show too. She was in what like the OC or
yes.
something like that.
Oh no. It's the show in New York, Gossip Girl. Was that Gossip Girl?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, Gossip Girl. Right? She was like the younger sister or something.
Yeah.
To somebody,
Jen, I want to play you something. Okay. And I want to know if you agree with this gentleman's statement here.
An interview in which you said, not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Mm. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
And I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
He didn't change his opinion.
Not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it.
Yeah. What would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, that they can't leave it alone. Yeah? They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again. And
I mean, and this is not,
get into
he's
a
not
really
lying.
Provocative
sorry.
Situation.
It's just, Chad, it's just funny that he's vocalizing it. Like, so, you know, he's like,
he's like, I told her, fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Right. And well, she fucked around and she, in fact, found out.
I've always done this joke. This is discipline. This is abuse, right? It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see how he ends this and if Barbara Walters is on board, because something tells me she's not.
Then I think it's absolutely right.
To give her a good slap.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if she gives you a good slap back?
Well,
then you get into another area. I mean, then maybe she's getting to like it and then it becomes something else. I don't know. But, seriously, I think that it's the last resort. He's not going to do it because he wants to do it. Huh?
Wait till people see this interview. Are you going to get
slap
mail?
Her now.
Yeah.
Might get some female.
She goes, I didn't realize he was like funny, dude. She goes, you might get some male. He goes, yeah, get some female. That's fucking clever, dude. Like, who knew he was?
Shit. I mean, you know, sometimes you just gotta set a bit straight. I mean, I don't know. This is very book talk. I mean, he was book talk before book talk was around, you know?
Yeah.
I like how he's a good schmuck.
You know, you do have this crazy ultra modern, you know, feminism where they want to be treated like equals. It's like, okay, well, you're gonna hit somebody, yeah. Maybe you can hit back. I don't know. Not that I would do that, but
no.
I'm dead. Oh god.
How do we so get on funny. This? John,
I don't know, but Jesus. Let me tell you something. I got a good kick out of that. Her face was so good too. Because he yeah. was like, just like
but it is oh, it
wait.
Is-
You said that. He said his inside thoughts out loud.
Totally.
Can you imagine that being that someone doing that today? What the fuck would happen on like?
Oh,
on
it would. They would be everywhere.
Social media, it would explode. People would be like, "What the fuck?"
Oh god, it was so mind. Funny. Yeah, but then they want to talk about whips and chains. You know, I mean, you gotta decide. You know, are you in or out?
Well, she might like it. Okay. Then we have a whole different area.
Like, you got to wonder.
I feel like had it been Una Reverse and it was like the girl saying it, though, that wouldn't have ever been like that controversial.
Oh,
no.
You know what I mean? So like to me, I don't know. Like I've what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I suppose, you know, like.
Well, yes.
But, yeah.
Physical violence is the last resort.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes you know, we run our mouths.
The funny part is like, so the last resort is smacking. You technically could just walk away before you hit her, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, before you smack her, you could just be like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm out of here.
And well, then, I'm not you know, defending just, it, but he, I think, sounds like he's talking about a situation where they're just at him. They won't yeah. stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Even to try
I mean,
to walk
I feel
away.
Like the shock factor would, in fact, set in. Like,
but Chad, the funny part is, it sounds like
what the fuck?
It sounds like he's. It sounds like he's been in that scenario a bunch of times where he had to schmack a lady. Like, I think he's been in that a bunch of times.
Like
it wasn't just like
experience. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't like a relationship. He sounds like he has like multiple ladies that he had to schmack because you know
straighten them out.
Yeah,
that's something.
But you would think that people would have been saying stuff about it, though. You know what I mean? Like, if there was like a list of the people that he had just, you know, had to let him know who was, you know, in control there.
Light him up.
Yeah. Well, don't forget though, that was back in the day where they could silence stories and kill people.
Oh,
and,
true.
And, you know,
true.
And nobody was the wiser.
Oh, well, they don't do that now.
Well, they do.
Yeah. True.
But,
that. I mean,
but now you have to be like at a, you know, a political level to do it and get away with it. Back in the day, you could be an actor or musician and get away with it. Now you got to be a Clinton, you know,
right.
An Obama.
True.
Yo, so Big Mike was in a video, Michelle Obama. And dude, she turned me on, bro. I was like, is Michelle Obama getting sexier?
Wait,
and yeah, I don't know.
Oh, dear God.
She had her legs crossed and she was telling like ladies or she was telling America, like, we're not ready for a woman president because
yeah,
we're like babies.
That. Part of that interview. I love that.
But Chad, did you see the way she was crossing her legs? They were sexy legs, dude. They weren't a man's legs. And I was like, damn, Michelle. I was jealous of Obama.
They were shaved.
Well, I don't
know. She had everything stuffed down between the legs so she could get them crossed, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. And then something was poking out the center. I'm like, wait a second here. Hey, now.
Oh, boy. We've deviated far from Jen's lovely music. What the fuck has happened?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
so
back
good,
to the music. men aren't angels. Mama Lana is saying that, but what did he do to get her started? Men aren't angels. Yeah, I agree, Mama Lana.
Oh, shit.
You know?
My mom's going to put it back on him.
Yeah. I feel like he was what one like, yeah, I feel like he, that was his MO, like get the ladies amped up enough to where he could feel okay to slap them. Well, she was fucking nuts. She was coming after me. She was calling my mom a whore. I had to just give her a smack and knock her back to reality.
Or he was like the original daddy. You know, I mean, that's, I'm just saying, I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Could but, be.
You know. Could yeah.
009 and a half, because he was the original. Daddy. Yeah, original James Bond right there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but Jen, so I think that that's going to be our next thing to work for next time we have you on. So either we set it up to where you do a performance, or we set it up and we have a backing track and you just lip sync over it.
I didn't know where you were going with that when you said that.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what?
Oh, God.
We're going to set up a slap fight, or what the fuck are we doing?
That's about? What I meant, actually. Next time we do this, Jen, well, you'll be in studio.
Both good options.
Yeah. Okay. And the moment you get too loud, I'm going to give you a nice little schmack and let you know, hey, now.
I mean.
But yes, have the guys been coming out of the woodwork for your new persona now that you're a sexy musician? Are they coming out?
You should talk about that phone call you had with that guy that you played for me.
I did.
She got some good sexism. Okay? She got the experience.
I was like, I don't think this is right. Right? And did I overreact? Because no, I think I told him to kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might have taken it literally. So yeah, fill us in. What happened there, Jen?
Well, no, he was from TikTok. Like, of someone on there, not from TikTok themselves. And they had like a company in Austin, and it was him and another guy. And I will say, I did get like an apology email from the other guy.
From the other guy, yeah. You did say
yeah,
that.
Too, thankfully. Yeah. And that was who he was talking about in the recording. But he was like, I just wanted you to know, you know how you get that feeling ahead of time? You're like, this is, something's not right. Like from text messages, it seemed real sketchy.
Yeah.
And so I just thought to like hit, I recorded it when he called, and thank goodness I did. But he was like, I mean, you just, I'm trying to help you out here. Like, you know, you need to put in some time and like talk to him, and did it, but like was making it like it was not.
He's like, hey, like you need to grab his balls while you're talking to him.
Yeah,
and okay.
Well, and he was like beating around the bush, but it was so like obvious at the same time what he was saying and whatever. And I was like, I've got to tell you, I don't know that I have zero problem making contact with this person to make arrangements for this or for that, or to answer any questions. But I've never been told that I needed to chat them up and make sure that I this, that, and the other.
He likes when your nipples are hard too during the conversation.
Right, exactly. And he was
trying to act like a middleman between you and the other guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Without needing to be a middleman. Right.
I was supposed to be there a few days later. Hmm. Like I would have been there the day that the album came out, but I was supposed to be going to look at these venues and da 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 da, like whatever. And he was the other guy. Was gonna like help set up the band and everything else to have, and like they wanted to set up like the show to where we could do it here, like put it up and take it down here, there. I mean, there's all of these things in place. And then I just kind of set fire to it because I was like, the fuck you say? Like, I'm not, excuse me? And he was like, oh, okay. Like kind of like back down.
Yeah.
And then once I set on me for a second, I like, there was a group text and I went in and I was like, hey, look, like, here's the thing. I am going to back away from all of this because I don't work with people who make someone uneasy because they are acting as if that I need to be overly friendly.
Right.
For, you know.
Yeah. It's like, can I get some foreplay here?
Yeah, the middleman guy was telling her that she needed to be more friendly to the guy that he was trying to.
Yeah, like he's the one with the money, and you need to da 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 da. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know blowjobs were on the table. Like I just he didn't. That was exaggeration there, but I said something and he goes, Jen, the first thing he said to me on the phone, he was like, you know, I'm sure it's a lot because all these men are hitting all over you or hitting on you and all over you. Like, that's a weird conversation to have with someone when you first answer the phone and you're trying to like plan for me to come down. Like, it was very weird. And the way he said it was just creepy. And he was like, you know, that's not what I meant. And like tried to make me look stupid in the text.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, it's okay. Here you go. And he's I just put the recording in there. Yeah, I just put the recording in there. I was like, well, you know, be that as it may know, you can see what the other person's saying about you and trying to get people to do.
Wow.
So, but I got a real lengthy apology from the other part. He was like, I don't know what he was trying to do, but, and I truly believe him. The other guy seemed on the up and up and very, you know, did the whole time, every conversation and meeting I'd had with them. But that guy.
Chad, yeah. I hope when you're booking.
A little Weinstein-esque, you know, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
And I'm sure that happens. Unfortunately, I'm sure that happens all the time. And someone with, you know, less resources.
I think had I been 20, I would have totally fallen.
I was just
going to
say, someone who's younger.
Yeah. You'd be like,
Well,
the thing is
you wouldn't have recognized the innuendo, right?
Well, but I think that, I don't think the other guy would have even, he did not have that anything about him that screamed that. But that one, I wouldn't have been in a room by myself with him. Yeah. Like, or Chad, he would have left with his appendages hurting, one of the two, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing this when you book guests on The Gracious too, like letting them know, like, by the way, my co-host might need a BJ before you.
How do you think I get guests on here?
Yes, that's what I like to hear, my man.
I mean, it's not going to be me. I'm sure these guys are hitting on you, but hey.
Yeah.
You got to be nice to John because.
That's it. A little extra nice. You know,
you can go places when you're nice to John.
That's it. Ladies, you want to get booked on here. You know what you need to do. And, feminine men,
I'm the slimy guy. Great.
But. Yeah. Hey now. So yeah, this is exciting. So yeah, this is not like an album a year type of deal. But you are planning on doing music, down the road and stuff like that.
Yeah, I plan on doing more. It's just, I was like, I feel like they really thought I was going to do like an album every couple months or something. I was like, no, guys, I can't. That's not doable. So we'll see.
And I was going to say, don't succumb to the pressure either, because like this first album you put out is real. It's a good album, and you don't want like a sophomore slump just because you're trying to appease fans.
Rush,
like, put it out when you're ready. Yeah. Yeah. You know what you're doing, Jen. You don't need
I really don't. I bug Chad and Bill. I just bug people about it and ask questions. But like, you know.
Good peeps to have in your corner.
This is the first thing that I've put out that I actually listen to. Mm. I know that sounds, you know, the others I've listened to because I've not had to, but like, it's not that I don't like them or I'm not proud of them, but like, I enjoy it. You know? So
that's good. Awesome. Yeah. 100%. And like I said, it's catchy right off the bat. There's not, you know, especially music nowadays, it's like it needs to grow on you or it never grows on you. But this is, like I said, I picked out five and every one, like, right, you know, by the time I got to the chorus, I was like, you know, I'm into it, you know?
Yeah.
I was feeling it. Like, of course.
Sorry. Everyone loves to call me or text me when I'm doing the podcast.
God dang it. Jen, we're going to leave you with this, a nice little funny video. And I feel like you would want your gentleman, whenever they are there, to propose to you like these guys do. Wait till you see some of the follies that happened over here. This is a...
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Get ready, folks. Ho!
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, what happens here? No! That's fucked up.
Damn.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Wow. Loaded for a little bit.
Good toss, dumbass. Jesus.
This is not going to end well. Oh, geez. Right out of the pocket. He's going right in.
Slow-mo's great.
Oh, Titanic. Gotcha.
There we go. Oh. Come on, really? This is not going to end well. We know this. Why would you? Oh, it's her.
This is
is the whole boat tip? I'm not sure. Oh.
Ooh.
Good stuff.
Squeeze there. You know, it's
they should leave water out. I was just gonna say
boats and water. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, it's like they're doing this elaborate, stupid things for the, you know, to so they can make a video and put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But it's also great to have so we can see it.
I would say, honestly, it's probably did better on things because they did something stupid and fell or threw it in the ocean.
I mean, if you went as far as to like set up cameras, have other people there to hold the camera and stuff like that, and you're on water, like I feel like you would take like an extra step to maybe tie the ring around a fucking rope or something.
Or maybe, I don't know, have someone that can actually toss and someone that can actually catch. Like, I don't know.
You would think.
The one on the waterfall is the best. As soon as you're like, this is not going to end well. I mean, they're literally on a waterfall. I thought it was going to be.
And
the
you know,
dude
those
that
rocks went. Are slippery as hell. Like, yeah. I mean, you don't even, it's not just, oh, there's water. Like, those are slippery.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Like ice. Worse than ice. Slick.
You know, common sense isn't common anymore. So,
oh my God, please.
We have been bitching about that for a very long time, that common sense has just gone by the wayside. No longer here.
And then they expect you to have you to find it acceptable. That's what's wild.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't deal with stupid. I don't do well with it. Mm-hmm.
But we've been dealing with it for a minute now. Like I don't think before, I guess it was like around 2020 that I realized like majority of the world is like stupid. Like almost
stupid
borderline.
And the audacity level is just like at an all-time high. It's baffling.
Yep. Like how can you hold up a sign that says like this is a stop sign, like you're holding up a stop sign and then you're telling people like this is not a stop sign that I'm holding up, this is a go sign, and we're like wait, but we see it, it's a stop sign and you're telling me it's not. Like that's how blatantly they just fucking lie to people right now. Like,
but you can also have a dick and say that you don't nowadays. So, you know, like I feel like there's a lot of blurred lines going
on. That's how it all starts.
Because, you can say you're a cat because you say meow. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When litter boxes came into play, I gave up on everything. I just I was done. I'm done thinking anything was okay anymore.
That's the whole point. When you can distort reality like that, then you can lie about anything or make up anything.
I wish I could believe it that way. I mean, honestly, I want to know what stupid pill they took, because there's some days that I would like to be that delusional. Like I would really enjoy that. Like I could just be like, you know what? My life is so good right now. And like, it really just appeared that way to me.
Like if I was in high school, if I was in high school and I could just like tell the administration, like, I want to transition. Like, I feel like I'm a girl just so I can go into the ladies' locker rooms. I would have 100% done that as a high schooler.
Who wouldn't have? Right. Yeah. Or you just suck at sports. So you're like, I think I'm going to run girls track instead.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
no shit.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
And we're going to leave them with that. The one and only Jen Smith, folks. Jen, tell them where they could get your album and where you're at on social media.
Well, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere that's social media. It's under Jen Smith 843. Literally means nothing, y'all. Don't even ask it. Just numbers. And then music-wise, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, anywhere, any streaming service, just under Jen Smith. And then the new album's Inside Thoughts.
Yes. Perfect. And she's working on music videos, folks. And if you remember the advice I gave her last time, be scantily clad in it or swimming, you know, things of that nature, that'll make the video pop. Jen Smith, Inside Thoughts, go get that album. Do you want them to stream it? Can they, do you have like a download thing where they could download it?
Yeah, they can do any of it. Yeah, yeah. Either which way. I mean, honestly, streams do good for numbers, but you can download it too. So
boom.
Either which way.
The one and only Jen Smith, folks. Thank you so much for coming on. Get that album, Inside Thoughts. It's a good listen to, I promise. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. Although I do say some things on here I don't mean, but I wouldn't give you that much of a compliment if I didn't mean it. Really, really good, catchy tunes. Fun stuff, Mr. Gracie. Did you have any other videos you wanted Mr. Bobby to play before we...
Yeah, that I think the last video I sent today or yesterday.
Bobby, as you're pulling that up, I'm going to play one more for the audience here. This is our president putting Mexico on fucking notice, Chad. For this, here we go.
Yeah, Mexico.
Potentially launching strikes in Mexico or putting American troops or American personnel into Mexico to deal with
it. Would I launch strikes in Mexico to stop drugs? It's okay with me. I've been speaking to Mexico. They know how I stand. We're losing hundreds of thousands of people to drugs. So now we've stopped the waterways, but we know every route. We know every route. We know the addresses of every drug lord. We know their address. We know their front door. We know everything about every one of them. They're killing our people. That's like a war. Would I do it? I'd be proud to.
Let's fucking go.
See, it's interesting because I would believe all those statements about they know where every drug lord lives. They know all their routes because, you know, they've been flying electronic surveillance right by the border and right off the coast for the past like 10 months, collecting all their cell phone data, everything. That's what they did for the terrorism in fucking Afghanistan and Iraq. But Chad, they know where they live.
Isn't it crazy though that if America really wanted, like he's showing that if we didn't want drugs in this country, we could absolutely stop it. And they could have done this a long time ago, but yet they're just propping up cartels. Somebody's making money off it so they could fund some black budget.
One of the reasons the border was open because the cartels were making billions of dollars in trafficking people. You don't think there was kickbacks going on with that?
Yep.
Give me a break.
You got that video, Bobbe. Yay, nay. The one, I think you sent it to the gracious.
Yeah, it's one of the black women speaking.
622 AD, and he goes to Medina, which was a Jewish city, and the Jews let him in as a Muslim immigrant. He goes into the minority neighborhoods, begins to get a following. His following grows. He gets involved in politics, and he insists that the Jews make a treaty with him. Now he's a political leader. And then he allows his followers to rob caravans headed back to Mecca, and he becomes a military leader. And so within 5 years of Muhammad coming into the Jewish city of Medina, there's not a Jew left in the city of Medina. They were chased out, killed, or enslaved. And so it's a three-step process. Come in as an immigrant, go into minority neighborhoods and build a political following and get involved in politics. And then you have random outbreaks of violence that drive out the previous inhabitants of the neighborhood, and they take over neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, country by country. There's a 1,400-year track record to watch this happening. I put it in a book called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. So crime going up is their goal. Why? Because if crime goes up in the big city, pro-family people and pro-small business people leave. Well, they're a higher percentage Republican. Who's left in the city? More people on welfare. They're a higher percentage Democrat. And so when crime goes up, the Democrats get a monopoly on city politics. And in election years, whoever wins the big city wins the state. Whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes. Presidents elected by electoral votes. So this is their goal. They want to go into the cities and have crime go up so that the Republicans leave. If they win that big city, they win the whole state, and then they can take the country.
I mean...
Whatever you want to say, it's a fucking plan and they're implementing it. That's what they're doing. And it's not by chance that these mayors are getting elected in all these blue cities, these Muslim mayors and Muslim city councils, and the left is helping them. That's the, like, if it's an enemy of our way of life, the left will help them do it. It's fucking wild.
And it's crazy when you, because you everything that gentleman said, like you knew it, but when you hear it just said in black and white and in those terms, it's like, wow, how the fuck does not everybody else see this and know this? It's like.
And he was talking about the Prophet Muhammad. That's what he started the whole process. It's a three-step process.
Yeah. That I did not know, by the way.
Yeah. I didn't know that either until that guy was talking about it, but it's very interesting. And it's like, that's what's happening. Like, and now it's the Democrats support socialism, and now they're supporting Muslims, and now they're supporting one guy that has both of them, socialism and Muslim, in New York. They elected him, and they elected him to be the mayor of New York. And it's like, oh no, it's you know, it doesn't have it, him being Muslim doesn't have to, anything to do with anything. Are you kidding me?
What do you think? What do you think happens with Mamdani, Chad? Like, do you think he's just going to be in there barking and not getting anything across, or do you think he's actually going to be able to get some of this socialist?
I don't think he's going to be able to do any of the fucking shit he wants to do, because it has to go up to the state level. Like, and Hochul has already come out and said we're not raising taxes. The MTA buses aren't going to be free. They're I think $10 billion in the hole already, and so you're just going to give them away for free. Like the city grocery stores, maybe he can implement something like that on the city level.
Right.
Those will fail because they always do. And it's, you know, it's these white liberal women who went to college, are overeducated, and think that they are going to create some utopia because they can't make it in the real world. It's fucking wild, man. And it's, you know, yeah, people that voted for him, most of the people that voted for the strongest voting block were people that have lived in New York less than 5 years. And
really crazy. White
women. Yeah.
I mean, are they going to be so liberated and, you know, worried about jobs when they're wearing fucking whatever covering their face and fucking can't?
Well, that's the thing. It was a liberal women in Iran that brought the Shah into power. And now look at them. They're stoned to death. They have to wear the hijabs. They're totally covered. They can't show their skin. Oh, that sounds great. Are you happy now?
Dude, I listened to a thing about the women's lib movement, and it was either a Rothschild or a Rockefeller that was like a major part of it, although silent, like you didn't know, but he was funding like the women's lib movement. And then somebody's asking him why. And he goes, because that's half of the country that I can't tax. He goes, so if these women go to work, then I could tax them as well. He goes, and right, also if both the mother and father are working, then the kids start looking to the schools as their family unit, and we could indoctrinate the kids a lot easier. Because they, you know, hold more credence into, you know, the administration than they do their parents. I'm like, wow, that is sinister. And, you know, women's lib, you're like, that's got to be a great thing, but he did it for the wrong reasons. And it was to tax the women, put them to work and tax them, and then also get them out of the house so they weren't raising the children. And they were basically being raised by, you know, an institution that can indoctrinate whatever ideals they wanted to. It's crazy. Right. Mm-hmm. And fuck, man.
But it's all sold under like, oh, it's great. This is gonna be great. You're free. You can vote. Like,
yep.
But you know, that's as I always say. Like, especially the left, they have great marketing. Like, they come up with great titles for things, and like Black Lives Matter, for instance. Like, you know, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, we all get that. But it's but they don't do anything for Black people. They didn't do shit for Black people. They collected a shit ton of money. They bought mansions, and then they sent the rest of the money to the Democrat freaking, you know, election apparatus. They didn't do anything for Black people. Nothing.
Nope. Just a couple at the top that, like you said, got the mansions and whatever else they were spending the money on.
But you know, crazy. Black Lives Matter, great, great, great title for an organization. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it's like, oh, all lives matter. That's racist.
Totally. Damn it. How dare you?
Oh.
You're including everybody. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Crazy. All right. Let's bring on Bobby to say goodbye to the audience. And another gracious Tuesday. Bobby, you want to say anything to the audience?
Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Thank you for watching. Keep subscribing. Keep watching.
Sharing, following. Sharing is caring, folks.
Subscribe, share, comment. Oh,
and let's
put up our sponsors.
Yes, Chad. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. There's that QR code, folks. Scan it. It will bring you to our sponsorship page to show you our three sponsors. It's Old Glory for all your rock and roll memorabilia. It's Eric Javits for all your beautiful fashion stuff. Miss Melania Trump wears their things. And it is the best, Good Feels, where you get your THC drops and THC seltzers infused to give you a nice good feel. So go check them out, and you guys use the coupon code THEGRACIOUS2, all one word, and you'll get 15 to 20% off depending on which sponsor you use. Pretty cool, Chad.
Yes, sir. Awesome.
Got some cool sponsors. People are loving them. and they're good. We're picking out some good ones, and we got some other ones on the horizon. But for right now, this is who we're choosing to let sponsor this show. So go check them out, folks. Yes, another Gracious Tuesday, Mr. Gracie.
Yes, sir.
We're going black.
Good to see everybody. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. All the great comments. Hey, Jamie's in there. Can you smell the? Can you imagine the smell under that burka?
Get the old one Jamie. And only. Go, Jamie, Jamie, Jamie.
Just put the it great up one-liners, but she won't come on the damn show.
Yeah, when you coming on, Jamie? We see your videos out there. You're dancing and all that jazz, and you're where you mimic over the words and stuff like that. So come on the show, there, lady. Carenza, what up? Everybody, gracious audience, we will see you next Tuesday.
Peace.